Francois, my good man, my friend, my partner in crime, what is the best rib you've experienced?
Oof, one that was baby-backed, covered in barbecue sauce.
I ate with you that night.
Had a side of coleslaw.
That was awesome.
Good whole bread.
I remember that. That was a good meal.
You're using some insider lingo.
When you're road tested veterans like us, you don't get ribbed. The ribbing, and I mean that not in the dirty way that you think I do, Patrick.
Yeah.
Who's finally pulling himself out of a pile of filth. Alrighty. Best rib I've seen in the last 12 months was when Alex Silva got hired by TNA. That was hilarious.
You got us,
Rick.
I never saw that coming.
Goof. Good Lord. I can't. If anything tops that in 2013, I'm going to just quit the business.
Oh, God.
It's the time of the season for wrestling.
You're loving that WrestleMania theme, the closer and closer we get to WrestleMania. We're on the road to WrestleMania, bro.
We got WrestleMania on the brain, man.
My WrestleMania hard on.
It's not this week, is it?
It's so hard on.
Is it officially WrestleMania
week?
Yeah. Shit, dude.
Yeah, dog.
I wonder how many shows I'm going to go to by the end of the week.
Go home, show of Raw is tonight. All sorts of cool things happening.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, from all the bitching I've heard on the internet over the last month, it doesn't seem like many of these feuds are being built very well, Matt. Everybody seems to be pretty pissed about every single thing on the card.
Oh.
Where's all this excitement at you're talking about? All I see is online bitchery.
Blind enthusiasm.
Right and left.
I'm a WrestleMania mark.
Mm, big time. So you're all about brand names. I know that about you.
Hell yeah. That's why I shop exclusively at Forever 21 and The Gap. Yep. Even though I am...
Isn't Forever 21 women's clothing?
They've got a men's section.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't have to go in there. I've never checked that out.
Imagine if Dan Hogan had his own line of really cheap merchandise.
That sounds great to me.
Well, then you should be shopping at Forever 21.
I'm all about the cheap. I'm sick of getting raked over the coals at that American Outfitters. You know what I'm saying? Is that still a place?
American
Did those go out of business?
Urban Outfitters?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's still a place. They're expensive.
Matt, I haven't shopped for clothes since I was a little kid.
H&M's expensive, but they're cheap merchandise from Europa.
I do recall getting like a couple shirts in there once when I was hard up for some new clothes, and they both fell apart within like a month, and I was like, well, fuck that place.
Although I shouldn't poo-poo it too much. All the H&M stuff I have has held up.
Poo-poo
well.
To you, H&M. It did not for me.
That's a crying shame.
I was fucking Incredible Hulking through those shirts like it was nobody's business.
That's pretty cool.
Splitting right down the back. All the purple pants I bought from there are ruined. Just destroyed.
Just tattered just below the knee.
They're in rags.
Yeah. That's a damn shame. But yeah, WrestleMania weekend. Always excited.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna get my drink on with a Davey R. Scheister.
I don't know. I've been talking a lot to your third brother, Teddy Bizkliz.
Yeah.
And he's been telling me about how you and Dave can't control yourselves when you're drinking, and you just start pounding way too hard, way too fast.
Yeah.
And then you turn into total shit shows before the night's even over, and he doesn't understand it. How's that strategy gonna work with 7 hours of WrestleMania, Matt?
Just fine.
Okay.
Okay. So I might have been a little inebriated when we last saw each other Friday.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But that was on account of other people's inability to drink.
Wow.
All right.
Who are you blaming on this one?
Is this Ted and Dave.
On Ted's shoulders?
Ted and Dave.
Okay. You got to pick up the slack that they're not, they're not pulling their own weight.
We got
quotas to hit at this bar, man.
Let's get the introductions out of the way. It's Baby Oil and Blow. It's your favorite.
Let's set the table.
80s wrestling podcast, early 90s, because we're creeping in there.
Extravaganza.
We're sliding into the early 90s
DMs. It's about pro wrestling.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. I'm your host, Matto. With me, as always, you're going to be the diamond stud to my Vinny Vegas. Oh, you are Nate Adams.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. So good to be here with you, talking about wrestling, talking about drinking. You know, yeah. This is what we do week to week.
Yeah. You get to be the diamond stud because you're hairier than I am.
Cool.
Yeah, your chest. You got the chest for it.
I've been taking a lot of prenatal vitamins trying to get this chest hair, you know, really just looking luxurious.
Is that how that works?
As far as I know.
I don't know if you're using your beard oil in your chest hairs now, but my God, do they shine.
You got to do that.
Just glistening.
What if, you know, the opportunity comes along to take your shirt off in public? You want people to be like, ooh, look at the way the light hits that chest hair.
You don't want dry chest hair.
Ugh.
Ugh, sickening.
Ugh, look at that dude's chest dandruff.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
So I'm hanging out with the brothers, the broskies.
All three of the brothers, the legendary reoccurring characters here on this podcast.
Yeah. We're at the local, the St. Joe's, where we went to schools together.
Mm-hmm.
It's Lent, so you got to go to the fish fries on the Friday.
That's lovely. And what kind of fish they fry up at that?
It's like a
standard tilapia or something?
No.
Just like just a white fish?
Like a white fish.
Yeah, it sounds lovely.
I think it might be passed off as like Alaskan cod or something.
I'm not buying that. Yeah. No way.
It's just generic white fish. It's all right. You throw a bunch of hot sauce on there. They got a good curly fry they serve with it.
Now you're talking my language.
It's all you can eat.
I love those pube fries.
Yeah. So we're going there.
I said that.
And I'm always like, I'll go.
When a waitress asked me if I wanted curly or regular fries, and I said, give me those pube fries. And she was disgusted. I was like,
last time I'm ever eating here.
Jeez, lady.
You uppity cunt.
Fuck you.
That's when you need to start going out swearinging on them. If there's ever a time.
Called the Hooters girl a cocksucker. What's that man's problem?
And just like that, he was asked to leave. They put your picture right up next to Scott Steiner's.
General manager Tim? No, he wouldn't ask me to leave. He's my boy.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were close.
Oh, yeah. It's getting in there. We're getting in there tight.
Yeah. Did he talk to you about the remodeling before he did it, or?
He said something to me. I was just like, he's addressing me. This guy knows that he's sitting in front of a high roller now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
He's hi-hatting all those other guys.
Yeah, he rejiggered the place.
Not me. They got a nice to-go booth now?
Yeah, it's all the way to the left.
All the way to the left. You don't got to deal with these people coming in and out, yelling about their to-go orders. You can stretch your legs out. I'm a tall drink of water, man. I need a lot of room at that Hooters
Goddamn
bar.
Goddamn right. Oh, all the room at the Hooters bar. So we're at the fish fries. I'm like, hey, you know, we're going to have a couple brewskis. It's going to be a good time.
Brew dogs.
We're going to get the premium pitcher. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't even know what it is, but I ain't drinking domestic.
It's MGD instead of Miller Lite.
Premium. No, they've been good about having like legit craft beer at this thing the past couple of years.
Churches,
because they're trying
up.
To bring in that younger crowd, because all the old people are dead, and so,
all those fish fry hipsters. It's a huge untapped market.
No, they really are, because like old people just started dying, or like their kids
That's
weren't going there anymore,
do.
And they were like, "Well, no one goes to this church anymore." So we rolled the dice on the premium, and it was Indiana's own Three Floyds Laser Snake.
Oh, okay,
which is
I've
one of
their that around.
Shittier IPAs, but it was like, eh, whatever.
Delicious.
It's better than Miller Lite. I'll drink it. So, you know, Davey R. Scheister's going toe-to-toe with me. He's having a couple. Teddy Biscliz is like, you don't like the way this beer tastes. I'm just going to...
It's too hoppy.
I'm going to go get...
It's too hoppy.
I'm going to go get a Coors Light.
Oh, come on. What a doucher.
And we're sitting there, and Dave says...
Drink an IPA like the rest of us fish fry hipsters.
Hey, your ma was drinking
Join
it.
Join our cult.
Your mother was drinking it.
Mom can handle a little
laser snake.
The hops, and you can't.
So we make it through...
Fucking baby.
We make it through the one pitcher, and Dave's already doing like the... I'm going to have to drive. I get a wife and a kid.
God. People
and,
drunk drive all over Illinois. Yeah. It's what you do there.
How do they think I got home that night?
Oh, no.
Idiots.
Cross that state line. That's dangerous.
Oh, I'm invincible, man. So Dave makes some joke to the guy that's like the waiter or whatever. And he's like, yeah, you know what? We were, the beer was down for a minute there. And since you guys had a way, let me see if I can get you like a free pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, oh, damn, free pitcher? Like, we weren't even serious. Like, okay, cool. And so he comes back with a free pitcher and is like, Dave, you started this. You better get in on it.
Fucking shyster. Always getting free shit out of somebody. Always looking at all the angles.
It ended up falling on Big Matt's shoulders to pretty much drink it all.
Oh, no.
Because I didn't want to look like an asshole being like, hey, thanks for the free beer. We left half of it on the table. Now dump it out.
Should have had a chugging contest with Mama O.
Yeah. Well, I tried to sneak a couple past her and like refill her glass. And she's like, oh, no, I'm at my limit. And so
I've seen her at her limit.
By the end of the night, they all had like a beer or two, and I pretty much had a full pitcher that I drank to myself. So by the time I made it out to Indiana, I was feeling no pain.
Pardon me, I just want to get through there, this door, over if you don't mind. Thank you. Thank you.
This is his house.
Yo, what's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, no, that's my friend Mitch. You're mistaking me. That's my friend Mitch. He owns that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway, yo, man, come hit this right here. You need to hit this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hit
that. No, I appreciate it, but I told my wife I wouldn't drink tonight. Besides, I got a big day tomorrow. But you guys have a great time.
A big day? You're doing what?
Well, actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring. Stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time. You know what? Give me that thing. I'll do one.
I was already one whiskey in, and then a friend, Missy, bought us shots.
Oh, no.
And then by the time you got
there... Didn't you see what state you were in? It was a very irresponsible
move. No one really cares about how I'm really doing, Nate. You're the only one. And it's mostly because you don't want to deal with the aftermath.
Remember when I got to the aftermath? And you just kept picking me up because you were so drunk? You just wanted to keep picking me up?
Not really, but Maria reminded me that you lifted me upside down.
Yeah, I gut-wrenched you into a tombstone position. You got real dizzy. You had to sit down for a minute afterwards.
Yeah.
It was good times. And I didn't drop you on your head, though, buddy.
You should have.
Teddy was trying to get me to go down full-on pile driver. I was like, not tonight, but we got to get this guy home safe.
Yeah. See, you're the only one that cares.
That's true.
Aftermath. Not the aftermath.
No,
aftermath.
The aftermath. Okay. Yeah. TM that.
You're the only one aware of it. I am like a hurricane.
A bird. I only fly away.
That's a good song, too.
Sure is.
Let's get to the point, the chase, what everybody's
meat and
got
potatoes
on their mind here.
Wrestling podcast.
Nate's WrestleMania picks.
I pick all the good guys win. It's happy. A happy day at the wrestling.
So you're going Kurt Angle over Baron Corbin? In his retirement match?
Yes.
You're going...
is he really a good guy? Didn't he like... Kurt drunk Angle? Drive over some kids or something at some point.
Everybody makes mistakes.
That's true.
After fish fries. So you're going AJ over Orton?
Didn't he stalk Shaniqua? Yeah. Get a restraining order put on him? Who's really the good guy here?
That wasn't a storyline.
Who's the good guy here?
And then they fired her, right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Start trying to mess with main eventers. You finally get shit canned out of here.
You got that restraining order. I guess you can't be in the company anymore. Goddamn, pal.
The pro wrestling news of the week should be John Oliver's 25-minute takedown of Vince McMahon.
Did you watch it?
HBO. I watched it, yeah.
How was it?
Pretty lengthy, pretty in-depth, making a big case to everybody, all of his viewers, of what a scumbag Vince McMahon is and how...
I heard it was just a lot of shit we've all heard before.
Oh, sure. As wrestling fans, we all know it.
But you're saying it's a little more mainstream.
Yeah, right? it was like a big mainstream expose, letting everybody know how pro wrestlers are basically...
How come
like
no one's
animals.
Talking about this?
A lot of facts and figures about how many are dead and how early they die. A lot of just well-researched arguments why having them signed up as, you know...
Independent contractors
is completely illegal. And if the government actually wanted to look into it for more than 2 minutes, it would be ended pretty fucking quickly.
Hmm.
He's getting into a lot of legalese, and I was like, if this picks up some steam, I think this could really fuck Vince McMahon in the ass.
Ooh.
And by fuck him in the ass, I mean make him start having to pay out fucking benefits and shit to, you know, his employees that are on the road 300 days a year.
Or he's going
to
wind up in court again.
That would suck. They made the McMahons look like bad guys, is what I'm saying.
Which
and
is
now,
unfair.
We have all these poor saps watching WWF TV are going to have to sit through like 20-minute montages of Stephanie McMahon fucking, you know, giving to poor kids and shit.
Yeah.
All that shit they start trotting out once they get some bad press.
Is anybody that ever worked for Trump a bad guy? Linda just stepped down.
Chairman of his campaign's in jail. His lawyer's in jail.
They were bad guys, not him, though.
Yeah,
There
we go.
Yeah.
Linda McMahon stepped down. This is some more modern wrestling news. From her position in his cabinet to head a super PAC to reelect Trump 2020. So,
oh, is that why?
Yeah, expect Linda McMahon to be making some calls to your house looking for some money. We got to get Trump back in there. Can I count on you, loyal Doug? I could see it happening, man. Like, all the fucking emails they have on their email list from WWF shit. If you've ever bought anything from them, etc. Yeah. Suddenly you start getting fucking mysterious donate to Donald Trump emails. I'm predicting it. These shady fuckers, it's probably illegal in some way, but they clearly don't care.
They'll find a way around it.
They're going to find a way.
Not to look like complete idiots with their heads in the sand. WWE... they rebutted.
Oh, to Mr. Oliver?
Yeah.
What'd they say?
Hey, bro.
Go fuck yourself.
Sorry you feel that way. Come to WrestleMania.
That's pretty good. You can't argue with that.
Yeah. Then what? He shows up to WrestleMania as their guest and acts like an asshole?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the jerk now?
It's actually pretty clear that he's a gigantic wrestling fan throughout all of this. So he's probably, if he gets like a fucking hashtag sweet life fucking going on at WrestleMania,
ooh,
I bet he's going to be there.
Ooh.
That little fucking weasel Englishman's gonna
he just
be right there.
Right, oh man, right
kissing
in
kissing McMahon ass.
Just like JR and all the greats before him.
Very true. Little fucking weasels kissing ass.
Kiss my ass, club.
Let's weasel our way into this rundown here. Start talking about this wrestling we're gonna watch this week from.
Well, we already did watch it.
May 9th, 1992, WCW Saturday Night.
WCW.
Our rundown's brought to us by an ultimate fucking sex comedy romp from 1984, I believe it was, I watched yesterday, called Up the Creek.
Oh, I'm not familiar.
Ooh,
who's
it's got
in this
a
one?
Cheap Trick title fucking song that's real good. Some lanky guy doing
Rockford
a Mark
Zone.
Harmon impression is like the main guy. Then you got like a fat guy who farts in the car within like the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Sign me up.
Free. There's a real nerdy like glasses guy.
Yeah.
Then like an out of control drunk guy. And they got the dean's threatening to throw them out of school if they don't win him a prestigious whitewater rafting competition. So they have to go against an evil team of rich blonde guys, Matt.
I hated...
And along the way, they steal those blonde guys' girlfriends.
I hated in the 80s how deans could just kick you out of school if you didn't win whatever trophy they wanted.
He specifically picked the four worst students at the school and said that if they win this for him, they can all get degrees in whatever they want. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Like, what, fail out or get a degree in whatever you want?
Yeah,
sign me up for that whitewater rafting race.
Yeah, just really start training in that. Just make that my life's focus.
Check out Up the Creek, especially that Cheap Trick theme song. It's really, really good. And check out WCW Saturday Night if you haven't. Pause this, watch it. From May 9th, 1992.
Hold on. There's a real important question for this movie.
Okay.
I'm going to set the over-under on the titties at 7.5.
Tits or pairs of tits?
Titties.
Okay, I'm going to say it's definitely an over. Definitely an over.
Wow. Yeah.
You get 8 tits, I'd say, at the least. Maybe 10 or 12.
So
I was doing a little yoga while I was
watching
this. I might have missed a titty
here
or there.
Could be 5 to 6 sets of tits.
That's right.
But at least 4.
A lot of randos.
Yeah.
There's a main group of girls. Okay. Maybe you get to see those tits once, but then like a lot of randos pop in and out.
So my 7.5 is a pretty good shot in the dark.
Pretty close,
over
I'd
under.
Say.
Yeah. Well, I know my 80s titties, mate.
Speaking of titties, our first match is pretty titties. It was the Z-Man in there doing a tune-up match. He's getting ready to go for that
talking
lightweight title. So he's in there against Bob Cook.
Patron saint of our show,
Z-Man.
Saint
A baby oil and blow, stay single himself, the Z-Man. He wins it with a big drop kick. I wrote in my drunken haze, this is what I wrote about the match. Z-Man with a drop kick. It's done. I don't know what it's done meant, but that, I wrote that down.
My notes on the match were, Z looks like Sandler's buddy.
All right. Good
you
for
know,
him.
The good looking yeah. one? Yeah.
I'm really tired. Can't we just go back to the hotel?
I think we should go. Perry set it up. You know, we should be around normal people. This is going to be healthy.
Well, I'm starving. Do you think there'll be any food there?
I don't know. Maybe you can order a pizza or something if there isn't.
I don't know. A number? What am I, a pizza guy? I know every number wherever we go.
Sorry, all right. You're going to cry right now? Jeez.
No, I'm just hungry, all right?
Why didn't you eat backstage? They had that huge deli tray.
Why didn't you tell me? I didn't know.
I think you even sat in it a few times.
If you would have just told me, then I wouldn't be hungry right now.
I wouldn't be hungry right now. What's the matter with you?
Eat time for my 4 o'clock feeding, and then maybe you can burp me afterwards.
Okay, fine. I'll order a pizza, okay? Just like I always do.
You got a tough job, you know that?
Oh, he didn't like that one. I'm kind of nervous.
He's very good looking.
And then my other note was 50 drop kicks and Z-Man wins.
He's a high flyer. Nikita Koloff, not a high flyer. He's a power guy in there against a big wall of a man, Mr. Hughes. Curtis Hughes. Koloff wins after a slam off the top and then a big Russian sickle.
How about Koloff's badass music?
Oh, yeah. It's just fucking... That's what they're listening to in Russia, probably. Yeah. Just cool shit all the time.
Lithuania, I think.
So. Our next match is Vinny Vegas versus some jobber, question mark, is what I wrote down here.
I heard him referred to as Kane.
Okay, so it's Kane, the Undertaker's brother Kane in there. Vegas, he ends it with the snake eyes. You know, there's a while where he can pin him, but he keeps on, like, you know, not going for it, like a cocky prick.
Yeah.
He's a real big shot. Wins it with the snake eyes. Diamond Stud is in there versus Rock Campbell.
Rob.
Pretty cool. No, it's Rob. It's not as cool a name then.
No.
I thought Rock Campbell was a cool name. Stud wins with a razor's edge. Looking like a main eventer right out the gate coming into this fucking 1992 WCW.
I'm pretty sure Jim Ross just called it a slam.
Okay, either way. Looking great, the Diamond Stud. If you didn't like know already how many drugs he was on, you'd predict at this point, like, this guy's going to the main event.
He's
going to
be wearing
all
some titles.
Scotty Flamingo is in there versus Brad Armstrong, our next match. Flamingo, he wins it after JT Southern, his, rock star manager, interferes in the match. He grabs Armstrong's leg when he's trying to execute a suplex. Kind of, you know, like Bobby Heenan in Ultimate Warrior when Rick Rude won that IC title from him.
Yep.
Same finish. Stole the finish. Our main event is for the television title. It is 2 out of 3 falls. Rematch from a couple weeks ago. We got the champ, Steve Austin, in there versus big time Barry Windham. First fall, Barry gets it after a superplex. Second fall, Austin gets it after a stun gun. Third fall, Barry wins it with a roll-up. After that, Austin goes nuts, starts hitting him with belt shots, fucking beats the shit out of
him. Another stun gun.
Barry's the new champ, but, you know, fucking Austin, he lays into him, and Barry Windham just goes on full-on, just like, you know, palsied selling at the end there. He loses control of his body. He takes a real beating, Matt. That's it for our rundown. Now let's dive deep into this episode of television. The little segment we call the five count.
My first one I want to talk about.
Let's get into it. I'm ready.
Doesn't come until later. So.
Okay. I kind of thought about just using all 5 of my points like during that 2 out of 3 falls main event.
Okay.
But then I was like, nah, I'll talk about some other things, I guess.
One of the first things I want to talk about and what I thought might have even been better than that 2 out of 3 falls match.
Let's talk about it.
Was that fucking Rick Rude interview.
Rick Rude
that
interview.
Shit
is something I wanted
was
to address.
On fire, son.
So we've been getting a weekly interview where somebody comes out into the ring, talks to JR and his co-host, and they all sit in little stools,
and they
look like dum-dums.
Yeah.
Not Rick Rude, man.
No.
He's wearing a silk shirt, and he's looking cool as fuck.
Yeah, it's unbuttoned most of the way to reveal his sweet sailor anchor.
I think it was
pendant.
It's like an anchor pendant.
It's like his tattoo, but it's his pendant.
I should get an anchor tattoo.
I was gonna say
probably.
Rick Rude's got one. Michael's has one. Mm-hmm. Why the fuck don't we have those?
It's about time for me to get
a couple of dudes who love slamming some vag, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, I'm getting one. That's it. Decided.
There's no way I'm going to the beach this summer without an anchor tattoo on my body.
It's my next bad decision. I'm doing it. Rude just comes out killing it, man. He was like, hey, you know how this segment sucked for weeks?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn it into the fucking Jerry Springer show. Everybody sit back and fucking enjoy.
Ricky Steamboat's a pervert. How about it?
How about it?
He's out here. He's calling Steamboat a pervert. He's pulling women out of the audience. They're saying they're fucking like Ricky Steamboat's fucking, you know, like ring rats.
Yeah.
These road whores. He's really getting in Steamboat's head here.
It was awesome.
Don't we get a couple chicks like catfighting out there about who's the one who's been fucking Steamboat?
Hell yeah.
You know, fucking, he's got away with women, Rick Rude. He's manipulating these chicks.
All right,
he's getting
in
Steamboat's head.
I'll break it.
Wife's head.
I'll break it down for you. First off, the only thing that I thought was going to suck about this, and it turned out it didn't even, was Randy Owens from Alabama.
Okay, so I caught on to the fact that he was from Alabama like three quarters of the way through the episode. I kept being like, who? And I kept thinking they were calling him Randy Orton. And I was like, is this guy's name Randy Orton? Is this guy?
It was like, is Randy named after his uncle?
So Owens makes a lot more sense. Yeah. From the band Alabama.
Yeah, he was the lead singer of Alabama. He was there to promote the June Jam.
Kind of looked like he had like a bit of a, he looked like Chuck Norris if Chuck Norris's beard was too polite to like grow long. He's just like Canadian. He's like, I'm just going to poke out a little bit. I'm just a little bit of a Chuck Norris beard.
Yeah. Alabama sucks. That's all you got to know. So he's there and I'm like, oh, I don't want to listen to this fucking guy talk about shit and try to pretend to be interested, blah, blah, blah.
Randy Orton, woof.
And they're like, oh, you know, Randy, you can ask the first question because I know you're a big wrestling fan. And he's like, I'm a wrestling
fan. Here comes the fucking
and I'm like,
stumbling, stammering, idiotic nonsense.
This is going to be so stupid. Oh, fuck. And then he's just like, hey, bro, why'd you leave WWF for WCW?
Yeah, that was a pretty
I was like, the fuck he just say?
He's not pulling any punches in his fucking hard-hitting questions here.
That was awesome. And Rude was like, I'm going to tell you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was the fucking Intercontinental Champion over there and
nothing
a pretty good one.
Nothing but truth.
And they never wanted to give me a shot at the fucking, you know, the real deal, the world's heavyweight.
Except I kind of remember him having a cage match with Warrior for it. Well, it was like, you know, you kind of think they kind of at least gave you one shot from what I remember, Rude. You're stretching the truth a little bit here. Your nose is growing.
Yeah, either way. But he's like, you know, they didn't appreciate what they had. So he came here for the real competition. And because I'm sure there was a lot more zeros in that paycheck. A lot.
One of the notes I wrote down about this sequence is one of Maria's cousins wants to be Rude's groupie real bad.
There you go. Did you see her? That's nice.
Yeah. I don't remember it, but I wrote that in my fucking notes.
Okay, so here's me breaking down the segment for you. So after they get that question out of the way, he starts calling Dragon a pervert. And then he's like, I'll tell you what.
Cheats on his wife.
He's like,
on the road.
He's like, I know how you usually do this segment, Ross, but I'm going to open up the questions to the audience. Let's see what they have to say. And the hot Asian girl stands up in all black denim. And she's like, you know.
Yeah, that's coming back to me now.
Yeah, she's like
that girl.
I know, you know, Ducey's the first lady at WCW, but like, what's it going to take for me to be your lady? And Rick Rude's like, well, I'm going to tell you right now, the body's there. It's just how you work it.
Shooting straight with the lady. Also, I love that we're continuing to call Medusa Deucey.
Yeah, and he follows that up immediately with, seriously, though, I'm going to get your information later.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, I think that was a shoot.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that was a shoot.
There's no way he didn't.
And then he takes another question from some blonde bimbo with super tan skin and big old facos. And she's like, I'd just like you to know that I've been fucking Ricky the Dragon Steamboat for months.
He's a pervert.
So I don't know how he could be fucking Deucey, you know, because I have been.
Sure.
And they're like, well, wow.
Got blonde stacked up like cordwood behind his house.
This is a bit of a surprise. So then Kelly Kapowski stands up and she's like, how have you been fucking him if I've been fucking him for months now?
It's a lot of fucking going on.
And she's like, nah, I'm fucking Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. And then she marches like
they
down.
They didn't say fucking though, I don't think. Can you do that?
I don't
say that on TBS?
I think they were.
Okay.
And so she came down to ringside, and then the hot Asian is like, hey, just so you know, I've also been fucking Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
At some point you start wondering, like, is he smearing Ricky Steamboat or...
Or is he just saying like, Dragon's pretty cool.
Like, Rick Rude, if you want to like have a bunch of hot chicks going around like fighting over who's been fucking me like on public on TV, like, go ahead. Set that up. I'm not going to argue with you.
So the blonde makes it to the ring and starts being like, I will not be denied. I've been banging Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. And then Jim Ross is like, she's getting out of hand. Security, get out of here.
Ross visibly uncomfortable.
And so
wiggling in his little stool.
Yeah. So security comes up and is like, you got to go, sister. And she's like, I'm crazy. And then he does this real aggressive move where he just whips her over his shoulder for no reason.
Yeah.
And you get like a whole bunch of upskirt and clevo as she's getting carried out of the building.
I'm going to have to rewatch this.
Yeah.
The one episode I watch when I'm too blind drunk to remember any of it. Yeah. You get all sorts of sweet panty shots and cleavage. Yeah, what was I thinking?
My final note on this whole thing was, this shit is amazing. And it really was. It was just a train wreck. It was absolute filth.
Mm-hmm.
They realized how much
definitely
of a fucking...
Definitely did have a very... strong Jerry Springer element to it, which I fully enjoy.
Well, the Q&A segment's been just lame as fuck with whatever wrestler coming out and being like, yeah, like, I'm gonna be a good wrestler. Like, I like to wrestle. Yeah, like, let's get wrestling
done.
I'm
also a big fan of yours, whatever co-host you are. I like whatever
you put
dumb low-level celebrity thing you do.
Put your peen in my mouth, and I'll put my peen in your mouth, and we're all best friends.
I don't remember that.
And instead, last
that
week...
Wayne from the Wonder Years episode?
Well, last week with Wayne, they even did a little, like, crazy crowd shit when they were, like, Paulie Dangerous dressed up as Bocephus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, what's this? You never know what's going to happen. And now Rick Rude's like, let's turn the whole fucking thing on its ear and just make it shock TV.
Saturday night's starting to get turnt up.
Yeah, and, like, this is what people fucking want. This is 92. Like, shit's starting to get real. You got fucking Montel Williams.
Oh, yeah?
No, I don't know if he's around yet. You got Arsenio, though, and the Dog Pound.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the Dog Pound's out there hooting, that's for sure.
And so, like, people want edgy. People want saxophones.
I agree.
For presidents.
Uh-huh.
Like,
saxophones
real
all
talk.
Over the place.
So, this was great. I'm pretty sure that shirt that Rude was wearing was the one that he wore on Arsenio. At least one of his visits.
I'm going silk shirt shopping this weekend. Yeah. My number one is how surprised I was how much I enjoyed the Mr. Hughes versus Nikita Koloff match. Koloff,
really?
Very rarely, you know, is the small guy in a match.
True.
Usually he's the power guy, and I thought he did a real good job of showing that he was a wily ring veteran, finding a lot of ways to trick the big lumbering Mr. Hughes and get him in predicaments. And then Hughes was doing a real good job of just, you know, he'd get down and he'd take him down and he'd do some shit to him. But then he was just like, it's not affecting me because I'm a big old monster.
Yeah, that's true.
Meanwhile, Jim Ross just yelling 375 over and over again. He's 375, 375 pounds.
He likes things.
It was some great... pro wrestling. A big guy, a ring veteran, and Jim Ross calling it like a sport. I thought Ross just really shone here.
It's going to be great when Jim Ross is the voice of AEW and he's like, this big man right here, he's 247 pounds. He's 247 pounds.
190 pounds, ladies and gentlemen. He's the biggest man on our roster.
We call him the big man. Kenny Omega, 215. I guess... Chris Jericho is their big man.
Yeah, at this
point,
that, I think that
with
he
all
is.
That booze weight he's carrying, he's got at least like 45 pounds in that face alone.
So basically, you got a guy who's an idiot screaming in a terrible Russian accent. You got another guy fucking fighting in a suit with sunglasses on, and somehow they're still able to like get me fucking invested, like it's a real athletic contest and two guys going at it to prove their dominance, which I enjoy. Just that balance. Between weirdness, but it's still being a sport. You got to hit that sweet spot for me.
Yeah.
This match did it.
That's fair. I was kind of quick to poo-poo it, but the one thing that
I was really enjoying everything I saw on this from what I remember, and it might have just been, once again, because I was blind drunk.
Yeah, I think
I don't
this
know.
Is right before you slipped into darkness. One of my notes for this match
sure.
was that it gave me my WCW Saturday Night Fan of the Week.
Oh, okay. I like talking about that always.
She's sitting about four rows deep. She comes in with big, frizzy, curly, blonde hair.
Ooh, talking my language there.
Nice white shirt. That's a little cropped. So you're getting
maybe?
Nah, too bad. Okay. But you're getting some belly. You're getting some belly. It doesn't go down all the way.
Love me some belly.
And she's got a nice pair of 1980s. I'd call them a solid B cup pokies.
Ooh, couple
nice pokies.
Pair of Hooters poking out of that shit.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Nothing like the t-shirt 80s pokies.
Oh,
man.
No. That'll get me going every time.
Yeah.
Every damn time.
She makes a couple appearances throughout this episode.
Moving on. What do you got? What else can we talk about?
My number two, I want to talk about that Vinny Vegas match.
Ooh, okay.
It was a marked improvement
yes.
over the last Vinny Vegas match.
I distinctly remember him doing the roll the dice hand motion a lot less times this time around.
He did it like once when he first got into the match to be like, I'm Vinny Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Rolling dice is what I do.
Awkwardly tried to do it as he had the guy over his shoulder to do the snake eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, well, that's like when you should probably do it before you put him over your shoulder. But
like,
yes.
Let people know you're about to do your shit.
But it was much better. They even had a little promo before he got to the ring where he's talking about, everybody, you guys want to run your mouths.
How you doing? It's the Vin Man here. You know, I've been sitting back watching everybody, listening to everybody, talking about what you're going to do to each other, how tough you are. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're driving me crazy. I'm going to take this toilet lid-sized hand and smack the taste out of your mouth. I can't put up with it. I'll tell you something right now. You get in the ring with me, it's going to be quick and easy and painful.
And it's just, either way, it got you a chance to like see a little Kevin Nash there.
What
you know?
I wrote about this whole sequence was Vinny Vegas doing a New York accent is so embarrassing.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I wrote down.
It just made me want to watch My Blue Heaven again.
It was about as over the top a New York accent as a fucking Koloff's Russian accent. Nash. I don't know who has the idea this was, but you should not have agreed to it.
Seriously, though, I like My Blue Heaven. It's a good movie.
It was one of Steve Martin's best, from what I understand. Vaguely remember having seen it as an 8-year-old. I don't know.
Oh, it's good. It holds up.
Personally, I'm a Father of the Bride mark. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Not the sequel, though. I only like the original.
So, Vinny Vegas, good job. More direct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were doing the lift him up. Not going to end it, but he didn't get any offense
in. Starting to figure some stuff out.
Yeah.
We're putting the pieces together. A
much better.
Green Kevin Nash.
Much better performance. What do you got?
My next performance that I wanted to shout out is Brad Armstrong's performance in that Raven match.
We can get to this. It's one of mine as well.
Solid nuts and bolts wrestler in great shape. Comes out there, wrestles a great just babyface style match. Only problem, this guy, he's got no real character.
At all.
Not defined in any way. He's got no real catchphrases, no like distinct mannerisms. But I think for a solid old school babyface, if you're talking territory wrestling, this is probably a guy who's going to be near the top of your card in every territory.
Yeah.
Just not quite enough sizzle to that steak to make the transition to like a TV fucking, you know, audience. Like putting together a big national TV wrestling promotion doesn't have what it takes to be a big star, but I just always appreciated Brad Armstrong's wrestling, and I think he was really taking a pretty excited and green Raven here who was trying to wrestle way too fast and get too much shit in way too quick, and he was taking him by the hand and kind of showing him the way a little bit.
I had two notes on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Number one was that we got Raven and Bill Alfonso daddy.
Oh, there you go. A couple future ECW
That's
alumni.
Right. That's right, Daddy.
In the same match.
That's right, Daddy. My other note was last time we did a WCW show, I believe I was poo-pooing Brad Armstrong because he's fighting Great Muta in a main event coming up. And I was like, why'd they waste the 2 out of 3s with this asshole? And you were like, oh, hold on now, hold on. And I was like, you're an idiot. They're idiots. Brad Armstrong's an idiot.
I love his curly hair.
And
a beautiful perm.
I thought you just liked his curly hair because you had curly hair, but
that
I realize now maybe I was a little premature.
Uh-oh.
Last time I saw Brad Armstrong, he hadn't gone to Japan yet, in all fairness. You know,
got to get some experience on this guy.
And Rossi told me, like, he just got back, you know, and he's a different guy now.
Go to a different territory, learn a new hole.
And I was like, you're right, Jim Ross.
Sassafras.
Last time I saw him, he was bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's back from Japan.
Did some, like, fat burners.
He learned how to wrestle.
Some sort of, like, fucking ground-up whale dick or something that's illegal over
Dan
here.
Dan Hansen probably...
Wicked fat burner.
Beat his ass a couple times.
Oh, I'm certain of it.
And he's a better man for it. He's a better man for it.
The other thing I was thinking about this match is just how crazy it is to watch Raven get zero reaction for anything he does. Like, this crowd does not care about him
yet. He did a plancha over the top rope.
Just stone faces. People sitting still, stone
people
faced.
People got up. People got up for that
move.
Got
up for that one?
Yeah.
I just remember everybody looking so annoyed that they had to watch a Scotty Flamingo match.
No, there was a good... Again, you were pretty drunk. There's a good minute in this match where crowd's pretty engaged.
It's this light heavyweight division's really coming together. We got Z-Man. We got the Raven. We got Flying Brian. It's looking good to me.
Yeah, it's actually some workers, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So, you know, mea culpa, I apologize.
Everything else I got to talk about is going to be in that big main event.
Okay,
so
if
you got anything else you want to address
outside of it, one other thing I want to get out of the way, and that is the stupid happened in the 80s, and it's still carrying over here, and that's title changing hands.
Mm-hmm.
At house shows.
Ooh.
And there's no fucking footage of it.
Oh, I don't think I picked up on whatever you're putting and down here. What title changed?
Bischoff's WCW magazine rundown.
Oh, I couldn't focus on that one.
Tag,
I was just staring at how sickly his weird thin face looks.
Our tag team world champs,
mm-hmm,
of Arn Anderson and Beautiful Bobby.
Yeah.
Dropped the straps in Chicago.
What?
To the Steiner brothers.
Oh my God.
First of all,
we got no footage of it.
I would have loved to fucking see that match.
Oh, God, what a killer match.
You know it was badass.
How many things are they promoting coming up? We got a Great American Bash. We got a Wrestle War. We got an NWA Tag Tournament.
Yeah.
You can't save this match for one of those many, many things.
Right? You had to switch the titles right then and there? Like, come on, man. Like, that would have been great to see.
I heard Bobby Eaton had a real bad case of diarrhea that was planned to last for a few weeks, so they had to get that tag titles off of him real quick.
He's the Dave Arshyster of wrestlers.
Absolutely.
Always living in that 24-hour window.
Constant.
Where he either just had
risk
or he's gonna have diarrhea. Let's get to that main event.
Okay.
So I took down the brain and Michael Hayes.
Pounding on the table, being a real showboat, and you're always taking down the pro wrestling figures. They can't handle it. They don't have sturdy bases.
Where'd our Z-Man card go?
It's over here.
Okay.
It's behind Sting's butt. Don't you worry.
All
right. We didn't lose any of the tchotchkes.
Oh, it's next to the Hogan.
So many things I liked about this main event. I was on cloud nine watching this thing.
You sure it wasn't a seizure from the booze?
Could have been seizure at this point. First of all, TV title, fucking constantly, over and over again, in the commentary, Jim Ross is talking about our television champion, Steve Austin. Fucking Paul Heyman is constantly in the background, holding the TV title up, pointed at the camera, so you see that beautiful TV title the whole time the match is happening. Just like, they can't get their goddamn world championships over as something that means anything anymore in pro wrestling. And this fucking lower card title, it's not even the U.S. title. It's below that. And they've got me convinced that this is a real important match for real important shit.
Yeah, I forget about that U.S. title.
Who's it on? I don't know. There's too much shit going on. But regardless,
Rick
in the
Rude.
Moment.
It's Rick Rude.
Okay, in the moment, I'm believing in this. Is another thing that I'm believing is that fucking superplex of Barry Windham.
Yeah.
They're putting it over huge. When he hits it, it's a big deal. He gets a pin with it. It made me remember, like, oh yeah, there was a time in wrestling when the superplex was a legit finish and not just like a, all right, we're going to lay around for a few minutes,
halfway
like transition
through the match
spot.
Move.
When's the last time you've seen a superplex?
Nobody lays down for a few minutes for that anymore.
Man, fucking, I hate that shit.
They do that
fucking Rollins does that Seth Rollins where he does a superplex and then immediately stands right up into like a gut wrench fucking Falcon Arrow or something. Like, why even do the superplex? Why do the superplex?
They do those fucking Tower of Doom spots now,
mm-hmm.
and people get Ugh. Up right after that.
Ugh. Barry Windham, if he would have kept in shape, he would have just been an all-timer. We got a young, hungry Steve Austin out here fucking hitting
busting
the ropes
ass.
Hard, busting ass. Wyndham's keeping up with him every fucking step of the way. I love the spots where Austin kept going to the head scissors, kept trapping Wyndham again, and Wyndham kept yelling, no. It's just good shit, just yeah. fighting in and out of that head scissors. Great match. What else I got going on here? I don't know. Wyndham selling amazing. At the end, you really thought that fucking those belt shots knocked him retarded.
Oh, yeah.
He's fucking just super concerned about this guy now. He went out there and died in the ring. Unlike Raven, who was just trying to do more and more shit. And he was out there doing shit, but fucking selling. And he was getting huge reactions from the crowd.
It was great for a lot of reasons. First, Austin finally cut his hair.
Yeah, he's looking better.
Yeah, that haircut.
Have that droopy, thin and shag.
Suits him a lot better. Suits
in his eyes.
A lot better. The thing I loved was just how athletic it was.
Oh, yeah.
And none of these pinfalls were like a penultimate, like, you won the match, you did it, like, you beat that guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was very athletic, and you just kind of caught that guy for a moment.
Very evenly matched
and
these
two. And
that's
how you got that pin.
Who is the world's greatest athlete, Dan or Dave? Dan's mom.
Dan.
Dave's mom.
Dave.
Dan's coach.
Dan.
Dave's coach.
Dave.
Dan's dentist.
Dan.
Dave's mailman.
Dave.
Dan's paperboy.
Dan.
Dave's pastor.
Dave.
Dan's girlfriend.
Dan.
Dave's wife.
Dave.
Dan's ex-girlfriend.
Definitely Dave.
To be settled in Barcelona.
And I felt, once it came down to that third pinfall, I was like, well, they're not going to let it go to a fucking time limit again.
Yeah,
they're going to have to do something here.
Bummer if they redid that several times in a row.
Because realistically, I felt like if this were like a real like Iron Man or a real like no time limit, 2 out of 3 falls, I feel like that third ball would have gone for at least a full half hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how the pacing of the match and the intensity of the match was working, where I thought it was just going to be like them just beating the fuck out of each other until one guy was dead. Like that's the only way you could have done a clean finish.
You know, fucking third fall, Wyndham catches him with a roll up, and then Austin immediately does just kill him.
Right.
Now we got grudge going.
Yeah.
Now I do want to see a match where they just tear into each other in a vicious brawling way and destroy each other.
It worked out well. You know, I thought for a second maybe they'd go for like a count out for the third or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I knew we weren't going to get like a straightforward finish per se. And we got just that. You had a ref bump. Ref goes down and Paulie's like, hey, take the belt, knock him in the head. And Austin goes for it. He misses and Wyndham fucking catches him in the ropes and then rolls through for the 3 count and then new champ. And he doesn't even get a chance to celebrate as soon as he's like,
Austin,
as they
snaps.
Ring the bell, Austin's on him. Like as soon as the pin is over, he's just like, man, he knows what's going on and just starts handing it to him.
And one of the cool things about this and the grudge that we are brewing here is that we got coming up just next week, maybe, or we got one more show, and then after that, we're doing Wrestle War 92,
ooh.
And both these guys are in that big War Games match, Matt.
It's War on the Shore.
You got fucking Grudge brewing, and they're both going to be in that big double ring cage together. It's
going to
get brutal. Fucking brutal. Destroy or be destroyed. That's the tagline for War Games.
We got
from what I remember, Wrestle War 92, probably one of the best pay-per-views of all time. Wrestling pay-per-views. I remember it very fondly.
We're going to go see...
Looking forward to that.
We're going
to
go see War Games? In Chicago?
Oh, probably
not. In November?
Probably not.
What? You're going to Survivor Series, though, right?
Definitely not that. for sure not that.
But War Games the night before.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be real busy that night.
I'm going to War Games, man.
Okay. I'm going to be launching a new restaurant. I'm sure I won't be taking weekend nights off to go to wrestling anytime soon.
Oh.
I'm just going to put that on the table right now.
I'm sorry. I didn't know I was sitting next to Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dicks here, you know?
I'm taking this town to Flavor Town.
Yeah. Oh, that's, oh man. Oh.
That's what's going to happen.
Oh, it's so good. That's like... Oh, that's like top five.
That's a dream of mine, to have him eat something of mine and then grumble around and grunt and like get grease all over his fat face.
When are you gonna?
What a dream!
Cut your hair and your beard into his.
I guess after I give up, after I've finally fully given up.
Well, you got time to think about that while we listen to these fine commercials.
Okay, wait.
Wait, you got something?
Just
for
one more thing before we go to break. I wanted to address. Next week, we got a big match coming up on WCW Saturday Night.
What's that?
It's Raven against fucking somebody. I don't even know. Johnny B. Badd.
So
did promos to hype at the very end. And I just really appreciated that Raven ended his promo by going, boy!
See, did they have him doing like a wigger gimmick? Or was he just making fun of Johnny B. Badd?
Super weird that he went full-on wigger in this promo. And I think I did a spit take.
He was like, yo, Johnny,
that
what's
was
up,
weird.
Johnny? Yeah. Why it got to be like that, Johnny?
It was strange as
boy.
Fuck. I loved it.
Which was great, because then they cut to Johnny B. Badd, and he's like...
Nothing happened in Johnny B. Badd.
Hey... You know, flamingos are very delicate.
They should have really played Raven's promo second and ended on a high note.
But it's like, I get if you're going to attack the black thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I condone that.
Very weird.
But,
very weird.
Johnny B. Badd's not very black.
No, and he's way more gay than he is black. If you're going to get offensive, go after that.
Yeah. Just start doing the fucking Fred whatever from B-52s, you know?
Oh, I love that guy.
Hey, we're gonna wrestle next week. There Can't wait to see ya, Johnny.
Ooh, fucking B-52s pro wrestling gimmick. That's something I might look into.
Yeah?
You have like a manager girl with a big bouffant and stuff.
You just want Sensational Cher to be Peggy Lee.
Oh, she's dead. That's not gonna work for me.
Oh god, she died
in my dreams though.
Oh jeez.
Okay, and I just wanted to get that that shout out to Raven's racist promo. Now we can have some commercials. Yeah. We'll be back.
I'm gonna go see if I can find it's a Sensational Cher.
We're three kids.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
There's the cereal I treasure. Delicious fruit-flavored Trix.
With this disguise, I'll capture some.
Yo-ho-ho, it's Trix I see.
A pirate.
Have some fruit-flavored Trix for me?
We have Trix as part of a delicious breakfast.
Jolly good, maybe.
Trix fruit taste is jolly good.
Trix has fruit taste I like. There's lemon, there's orange in every bite.
Whee! The rabbit! Silly rabbit,
tricks
for kids.
Yo, ho, ho, it's always no.
In Los Angeles, the film capital where fine dining takes a starring role, we're at world-famous Perino's restaurant. Tonight, we're secretly replacing the fine coffee they usually serve with dark, sparkling Folgers crystals. Will it be rich enough for our special guests?
It tastes like excellent coffee that I would expect of Perino's.
It's nice and rich. It's really good coffee.
It's Folgers crystals.
You're kidding.
You mean instant coffee? Well, it's delicious.
Folgers crystals. Coffee rich enough to be served in America's finest restaurants.
Wise men say... Only fools rush in, but I can't help talking wrestling with Nate.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, three count.
What's today, Nate?
Today is, we're recording this on Thanksgiving morning, Matt.
Oh, yo, Weisenheimer, you. No, you almost had me going there.
That was a classic prank. That's not Thanksgiving morning. It's April Fool's Day, my friend.
Oh, boy, you had me going
it's
there.
It's been fucking pulling ribs on people all day, man.
Ugh.
I like how in pro wrestling, it's not pr- cranks its ribs. Yeah. It's like everybody, oh, he's ribbing me. This guy ribbed this guy doing that rib. They love talking about ribs.
The whole time we've been doing this show,
mm-hmm.
when I got here.
Now I'm thinking about eating ribs.
When I first got here tonight, your housefrau was here.
Yeah.
Amanda.
Sure.
Whole time I've been wondering, how long it's going to take her to realize I shit in her handbag. Classic rib.
Classic Maddo. Classic April rib. Fool's Day rib.
Oh, yeah. Find a girl, shit in her handbag.
Mm-hmm. That's, did Randy Orton teach you that one? The wrestler, not the guy from Alabama.
Allegedly. I can't say yes or no. I don't want to get my ass handed to me by Kurt Angle.
X-Pac shit in some girls' bags too, didn't he?
I will tell you who I learned it from next Monday after Kurt Angle's officially retired from the ring.
Okay, that's a solid deal.
I don't want to be policed.
Presenting someone with your shit may be one of the best pranks. Like, if you really want to get in somebody's craw, just like fucking mail them one of your turds.
I don't think that's illegal.
Flaming poo on the doorstep? That's a classic right there.
Yeah.
A rubber turd you can like lay around somewhere, convince somebody there's some poop. Even that's funny.
Or fucking get some shit on like a $5 bill and leave it out.
Oh, God.
And be like, hey, oh, there's $5 on the ground.
Did you do that to Dave a lot when you were kids?
No.
I could definitely see that one happening.
I should do that to him now.
Yeah, a penny pincher.
He'd bite.
Be all over that shitty $5 bill.
Yeah, you could do it for a dollar.
Oh, I'm sure that he would.
Just get some shit on a dollar?
That's disgusting.
Oh, he'd go for it. April Fool's.
So, fucking, why not work the fact that it's April Fool's into our three count, we said? Fucking, it's a theme thing. It's fun for us. It gives us one less thing we have to think about.
Just gives us something to fucking do.
What day
dope.
Is it? Yeah, we'll do it that. So we're doing an April Fool's three count. The big question you asked me is, who are the three biggest fools in wrestling?
Yeah.
Who's just like the biggest idiot dum-dums that pop into your mind when you think about wrestling? People just look like real morons for whatever reason.
Yeah.
My three, I feel like they're just constant baby oil and blow favorites.
Okay.
Guys who we like to talk about just being super stupid. Let's get into it because, you know, it's not an outside of the box fucking picks I've made, but it's people who we love to run down. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I'm going to give my most
build myself up
outside of the box one
bring
first.
Other people down. Oh, getting weird with it.
I don't think we've really talked about him on the show before, but I know way back when, just talking wrestling, you and I had some conversations about him, mostly about how stupid he was.
Oh, good.
And I think we kind of went full circle where we hated him and then kind of loved him for how stupid he was. I'm going to give it to
here. I don't know what direction we're going in.
The late, great Andrew Test Martin.
Ooh, fucking Test. Yeah, he's classic dumb look on his face is mostly why I'm thinking he's into this initially. That's my knee jerk. Just like, well, yeah, he had that dumb look on his face all the time.
Yeah. But he got duped by, like, H multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
He got
his wife stole out from under him.
Correct. Yeah, that's the ultimate duping.
Stole his Beyonce.
Yeah. He got duped by Albert. I think Albert turned on him. That's how their tag team TNA ended.
Oh, fucking. You don't trust a big hairy man with piercings all over his face? What were you thinking?
And then he got duped by not only Stacy Keibler, but one of the biggest...
I think he was duping Stacy Keibler.
Well, he got duped by one of the biggest idiots in all of professional wrestling, Scott Steiner.
Oh, I vaguely... Yeah, I do remember Steiner got brought in and then shit the bed in those Triple H matches. They were just like, now you're hanging around Test.
Yeah, they were like tagging, and then it was
what
like, oh,
from grace.
We're going to fight for the services of Stacy Keibler.
Mm-hmm.
And Test lost. And this was also when Test was like at the height of his popularity because she was hot and was his manager slash girlfriend.
Talk about fucking fighting above your weight class right there. How'd he pull that one off?
And then he loses Stacy to Steiner, and Steiner immediately proclaims, I'm going to turn you into my slut! Which is pretty cool.
Sure that he did.
Yeah.
Scott Steiner, I think, probably, if you were to ask around, like, dumbest wrestlers, a lot of people would probably put him on his list, but that's not because he's dumb. That's because people are dumb. quite frankly. Yeah,
they just don't get it.
Get him off your fucking April Fool's biggest wrestling fools list. He's from a highly educated university. Right. He's a Shoney's owner, and he fucking knows how to put women in their place.
Nate, you manage a restaurant.
Yeah, sometimes.
Can anybody go about doing that?
I'd like to think yes, but it turns out when you look at it, a lot of people can't even work at a restaurant, quite frankly. Too stupid for the most menial of tasks.
Not Scott Steiner.
There's a lot of real stupid people out
there. Not Scott Steiner.
He's fucking... Do you think that buffet at his fucking Shoney's is, like, ever running out of shit? No. He's a fucking... blowing whistles and barking, making those fucking buffet sluts fill back up the ham cubes.
He's crunching the numbers. If you run out of 3/3 of the romaine lettuce at 8:33 every night,
that's right.
You know you got to get 2/3 of the chickpeas back out of the buffet around 7:15.
Ooh, they got chickpeas? That sounds like a great salad bar. Yeah. We really got to make a trip down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my number one is a guy we talk about a lot. And basically...
Oh, to clarify, Test was my number one. Yeah, we went straight into Scott Steiner there. Anytime we got a reason.
Because Scott Steiner is far more interesting to talk about than fucking Andrew Test Martin.
We'll just do a Scott Steiner boring career retrospect one episode.
There was that very late career Test where he showed up like for the last time, just roided out of his fucking gills.
That was when he came
right
back from the neck injury.
Heart exploded and he died or whatever. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Steiner taught him a thing or two.
ECW.
So my number three here is the fucking master and ruler of the squirrels. Fucking, it's the man Sid. He's fucking just universally hated by everybody backstage for being a dumb idiot. Could have been the biggest wrestler ever, but couldn't keep his head on straight ever. Fucking grown man who's like into softball. What sort of grown man is into softball unless you're like doing it in a drunk idiot way? Like, you know, like these really fat mushball players in Chicago. I'm fine with that, but like taking softball super seriously, I mean, that's disgusting. But really, it all just boils down to that one awesome promo on Nitro where Sid was trying to pull one over on old Vinny Vegas and the Diamond Stud, and he yelled at them legendarily,
"But you know what I know, that you're only half the man that I brain.
Totally didn't realize he had burned himself because he's such an idiot. He called himself as fucking dumb and just Nash and fucking Hall were just in hysterics. just cracking up in the ring. They don't even have anything to say.
Couple of pros.
Just full on laughing at him in the ring. While he stammers and just starts yelling like, "You try and make me look like a jackass week after week." And it's like, "Nah, Sid, you made yourself look like a jackass." So one of my favorite wrestle botch moments, I guess. Yep. That's what the kids are calling them, of all time. Just Sid being an idiot, trying to call Nash an idiot, but calling himself an idiot in the process. Good on you, Sid.
Sid, beauty.
Big, dumb idiot.
Oh, man. I'm worried if and when you're going to have this guy on your list. So
I figured we'd both have the same number one.
I could go one of two ways.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I could go one of two ways.
This is getting interesting.
So I'm going to go no. I'm going to go curveball here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm gonna go with what I'm thinking you're thinking. I'm going to try this one instead. My number two, I'm going to change it up here. I'm going to go with a guy that I've shown much hate for, and rightfully so, because he's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been duped a couple times. By his employers, by his family. He's not just a fool, he's a Canadian fool. I'm going Bret Hart.
Oh, fuck. You do hate Bret Hart.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
It is clear when you hear Bret Hart speak that he is a dumb man.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm going to allow this to be on the list.
Another way you can tell is because anytime you hear about when he's mad at stuff, it's always everybody else's fault, his own. You know? Uh-huh. And That's a fool's errand right there, you know? Just being like, "Hey, you know, it's not my fault, you know?"
Mm-hmm.
He says, "You know."
Also, just like, what a fucking Mark baby. Just like how seriously he fucking took pro wrestling and fucking getting himself fired and all that shit just because he didn't want to lose a fake fucking title belt and stuff. And
like, this was fucking what, 97?
Hey, Hart, it's a work, man.
Plus, no one respected.
Used to be the marks were in the audience.
Yeah. Plus, no one respected wrestling by 97 anymore.
Oh, no, not at all. It was fucking trashy shit they were peddling.
Last guy,
fucking self-serious about being a fake fighter.
Right. Last guy that respected the business that much was Dusty Rhodes, and he was a joke by 97. Mm-hmm. I think he was in the NWO, which was the biggest joke of them all.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Also, named his son Blade.
Showtime!
What's going on?
4, 3, 2, 1!
Welcome to our show!
Hack the Planet!
Hack the Planet!
And for those late night hacks,
Joe Cola, the soft drink of the elite hacker.
Who are these guys?
It's Razor and Blade.
Find a payphone in a remote loop.
Razor and Blade?
That's right, this is a payphone.
Don't ask. As you can see, this is just a simple micro cassette recorder. Hook it up to the phone and drop in $5 and quarters.
Record the tones that the coins make and hang up and get your money back.
And never again pay for a service that would be dirt cheap.
If it weren't run by a bunch of profiteering gluttons.
Remember, hacking is more than just a crime. It's a survival trait.
That's pretty cool.
What kind of a guy with fucking half a brain names his son Blade? That's embarrassing.
That's pretty cool.
If you were a 9-year-old, that's what you would name your kid, basically.
Well, hell yeah.
Guy's got the brain of a fucking 9-year-old.
Chris Benoit?
I think he had the brain of like a 90-year-old, something like that. The opposite that way.
So Canadians, they're one or in between. And like, he got duped by his own brother, Owen. We all saw it coming, Brett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody saw that shit coming.
You were the only one that was surprised.
Turned on by your own flesh and blood. He was... For weeks, the fucking pressure was building. You could see Owen was resenting you.
I'm surprised he realized that was a wrestling angle and didn't, like, hate Owen for years. And was like, you know, when he died falling out the rafters, I was kind of glad to see him go, you know?
Good riddance is what I'm saying.
Because, like, what he did to my leg.
Black stain on my pro wrestling career, my own brother.
You know, now I could just focus on the good brothers, Bruce.
Oh, no, nobody likes Bruce.
No?
I think he's the one that tried to weasel himself into a WWF job by pitching that angle, and they were like, goddamn, pal, I love it. We're doing it with Owen, though, who's, you know, already a wrestler for us, and not you.
So, yep, Owen, or Brett. I'm putting Brett on there.
Brett works.
Canadian fool.
My number two is, I'm giving it to who I consider to be the biggest fuck-up in pro wrestling. And that's Party Marty, man. Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, nice.
Salvatore M., you've known Marty Jannetty for a long time. One of your more famous stories was about kicking the shit out of him when you broke in Kansas City. But Marty has fallen on some really hard times and needs help. Could you, Jake, and DDP bring him to the accountability crib and give him the help he needs?
I like Marty. And yeah, I did beat his ass one time, but that's an old story. And he had it coming. And but I'm going to see Marty October 24th at a show in Rome, Georgia, and I look forward to talking to him. I remember talking to Pac, and kid said that Marty doesn't... See, I always knew I had a problem. I was never in denial about it. Kid said Marty, in his opinion, is in denial. He thinks he doesn't have a problem. He's just partying.
Blown fucking potential right and left. Big tag team star in the 80s, but could have been so much bigger. In order to illustrate why I think he's one of the biggest fools in pro wrestling, I did a little research and I pulled up all the times he's been fired from the WWF.
Oh, lay it on me.
Fired in 1987, weeks into their run for supposedly smashing up a bar. Fired in March 1992 for attacking a police officer.
Well, that's kind of a fool's errand.
Fired after the Royal Rumble 93 for supposedly working under the influence of drugs.
Who wasn't?
Fired in 94 because of the Charles Austin trial. I don't know what that is.
Doesn't sound good.
It was on the list of things he got fired for. And I think that maybe that was the guy that they like basically killed in the ring. And then like he came back and sued. Yeah, that's definitely what that was.
You can do a good firm.
I can do.
That's a good firm handshake.
I've got usable grip.
The simple things are no longer easy for Charles Austin.
My left hand doesn't have the grip strength to hold drinks.
The former college football star who could once bench press 475 pounds now uses his 12-year-old son as a spotter and struggles with a 30-pound weight. It was Chuck Austin's fascination with the rough-and-tumble world of wrestling that robbed him of his mobility, nearly took his life, and thrust him into a pitched battle against a multi-million dollar industry that thrives on winning at all costs. A few years ago, Chuck and some friends formed a small wrestling school and began putting on amateur shows. Then, in December of 1990, Chuck and three of his wrestling buddies traveled to Tampa's South Florida Sun Dome, where the World Wrestling Federation was putting on a show. Chuck, in the blue trunks, was hired for $150 pay to work as a so-called jobber.
It's our job to make sure that the star is a star.
So your job was to take a fall and do a little acting.
Exactly.
You might not be too surprised hearing that pro wrestling is well choreographed and the outcome never in dispute, but you won't believe what little preparation Chuck Austin says preceded his maiden trip into the pro wrestling ring.
All I did was a guy asked me my name. I told him my name. He asked me where I was from, and I told him I'd only been wrestling about 6 months.
Was it a requirement that you undergo some sort of training before you went into the ring?
Nobody ever said it was.
Quit after Survivor Series 1996 because he didn't want to be in the New Rockers anymore, and they refused to split up the New Rockers. After they fired you so many times, you're going to fucking try to hardball these people and quit? Fired on July 9th, 2005, after getting arrested for a domestic incident. What? Fired on March 3rd, 2006, after no-showing Raw because he was on parole. Fired as a road agent on September 29th, 2006. That's fired three times in the span of, like, 14 months right there.
Yeah.
Due to a court order in Florida that prevented him from traveling. Finally, he was going to be rehired in 2007... after having a match with Ken Kennedy, but he failed a drug test, so they weren't able to. And that was the end of the run for the most fired man in WWF history. Probably the coolest fucking dude you're ever going to meet. Does appearances at his local Hooters. Party Marty, Marty Jannetty. Cool fucking guy. I just want to shout him out on April Fool's Day.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Look where Shawn Michaels went, and look where he went. Embarrassing.
Charles Austin.
Uh-huh.
Jannetty broke his neck.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, doing a finisher.
Turns out he
I
got
guess the rocker
quite a bit of money
my,
for that.
Yeah,
that's
guess.
What it was. It's a pretty gross looking thing. You can find some video of it out there.
Oh, that's good. He was paralyzed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Austin sued WWE for $26.7 and won.
Mm-hmm.
And Jannetty had to pay $500,000 of it.
I'll tell you what, Vince wasn't happy about any of that.
WWF appealed the ruling and eventually settled out of court for $10
million. Oh, that's a lot of money for
one
broken neck.
And there's no note about that sum of $500,000 changing, which is like more than...
That's a lot of drug money.
Jannetty didn't have that.
That's a lot of drug
Jannetty
money.
Jannetty did not have that.
Hell no.
And every time he came back to work was to chip away at that $500,000.
I hope I don't get fired again. Whoops.
Boy. Party Marty, that's a great one. I toiled with putting him on there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my number one that I'm sticking with my number one because I think I know what
sticking
your number
on my guns.
One is.
Mine's obvious. I couldn't go with anyone else.
And I think you could have, and I think it's this guy, but I don't think you picked this guy. I think you picked the other guy.
Okay.
So I'm going to stick with this one.
You have no idea what an idiot is. Elaine just gave me a chance to get out, and I didn't take it. This is an idiot.
Is that right? I just threw away a lifetime of guilt-free sex and floor seats for every sporting event in Madison Square Garden. So please, a little respect. For I am Costanza, Lord of the Idiots.
You're all winners!
But suddenly, a new contender has emerged.
your number one is going to be in one of two companies, just as mine is. And I think we're in different companies here. And I'm going to say mine's in WCW.
My mind has been in all companies.
Wow.
He's dumbed his way around pro wrestling.
Yeah, so is my,
all over the place.
So is my guy, but I'm going to stick with WCW. He's an idiot. He's regarded as one of the biggest idiots in all of wrestling. Okay. And he's another guy that's just been duped or fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been in factions and been asked to leave factions.
You got to get out of here, dumb.
Just because even in storylines, the guy's an idiot. And I'm talking about Lex Luger.
Lex Luger is definitely my number one as well.
How about it?
Guy's never cut a promo that didn't eventually lose his train of thought. Can't even talk English good.
Nope.
Prototypical fucking blonde bimbo.
Yeah.
All you can do is focus on his body because his fucking brain doesn't work. Just derided by all of his coworkers. It's just being a cocky, thinks he's better than he is, fucking dumb. Nobody likes him. Nobody's ever heard him say anything interesting. That's all he is a body.
He got duped by Wyndham.
Total package except for a brain.
One of the biggest just stains on his entire career that I don't think people are talking about enough. He got kicked out of the Dungeon of Doom.
Oh, man. I don't even remember he was hanging around the Dungeon of Doom. That's pathetic.
Once they, let the horsemen in there, and, Luger was a part of all that shit for some reason.
Sure, yeah.
And they had their big match against, Hogan and Savage.
Going on record, Lex Luger, worst horseman of all time.
Yeah.
All you people pointing at Pretty Paul Roma?
No, he fit in much better.
Much fit in much better.
Luger accidentally punched Flair and it cost him the match.
Oh, God.
And then even the Dungeon of fucking Doom was like, bro, you can't be in this faction anymore.
Just fucking dumbed his way out of being WWF champion. Vince had such a hard-on for putting the title on him, having him be the new Hogan, and he just couldn't get out of his own fucking way.
No.
Cut famously the worst promo in pro wrestling history with the "your shirts are too tight" two-layer
incident. Just gonna say he got duped by a shirt.
Mr. Luger, I saw what just happened out there with Ron Killens. I just want to ask you, what are your plans for the next show of Super Brawl Saturday? Are you gonna take care of Ron Killens?
What kind of disgusting, despicable lack of respect is that Billy What's-His-Name show booking a match for the total package Lex Luger and Super Brawl? Super Saturday? What is it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday? Can he afford to pay me to wrestle Ron? I don't know. I'm one of the biggest legends and stars ever in this. God! Ugh. And your t-shirts are too tight too, Billy! And you book a match with me against Ron Killings! Look at me! I'm a total package! I will rip him apart! I'm pissed now!
I don't think I'd...
Got Miss Elizabeth into drugs and she died. That's a dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
He's my number one fool.
Wow, I thought you were going to go Hogan on me.
Oh no, Hogan's fucking put Gawker out of business. He makes millions of dollars every fucking year some new clever way.
I was going to put Hogan on there, but I was going to
He's like King Carney, buddy.
But I was strictly going to put 1980s WWF Hogan because of how many times he got fooled by all his friends.
If you want to look at it from that, then the two fucking Sting and Hogan are opposite
Sting,
sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
All they ever did was make a new friend who then turned on them.
Right.
And then they'd stupidly make a new friend who then turned on them.
Yeah.
I'm going to say another little... The shout out we need to throw out there is our boy Davy Crockett.
Another
dumb bimbo.
Yeah.
Not good at his job. Nothing to offer anybody. Just happy to be in the room.
Yeah.
A happy idiot.
Yeah. Well, we did proclaim wrestlers, so it's fair that he gets left off.
I spread the love around. Yeah. There's a lot of stupid people in the wrestling business.
If we were doing on-air personalities, I think Crockett would be in there.
Oh, he'd definitely be on my list.
Definitely giving our runners-up to Sting and Hogan, because I thought the same thing you did, where it was just like, these guys made a career out of being
perennial
fools. You're my friend.
Uh-huh. Nope.
Oh.
Now I've turned on you. I'm going to try to take your title.
Yeah.
And or maybe like tear your cross off of your neck.
It's lonely at the top. Or
steal your custom motorcycle. I don't know. Probably assume Beefcake did that to him at some point.
Sure. Oh, he got into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, hell yeah. I was about to complain about how there's a weak-ass Hall of Fame class this year, but no Beefer finally, puts it over the top.
Finally got some fucking star power.
Badass.
Does Hogan do the introduction?
Oh, you got to.
He's back in the fold.
Who
I
else
think
could
he
it
can.
Be?
Yeah.
It's a great excuse to trot his racist ass out and be like, we need it in full Hall of Fame.
Best friends with this guy.
Dipping our toe back in the Hogan water.
We're best friends with this
over.
Guy. You always gotta be there. It's fucking the Hall of Fame ceremony. That was fun. That was a good
It was
time.
Fun, yeah. definitely.
I like talking fools.
Next week, we're going to come back. We're going to be doing the May 16th, 1992 episode of Superstars.
Ooh.
WWF Superstars.
Ooh.
After that, we'll come back and we'll do the May 16th episode of WCW Saturday Night. That'll be in 2 weeks.
Just a Saturday night.
And then eventually we're getting to that Wrestle War 92, like a month out. We got a lot of shit on the docket, man.
We'll try to find some fun summer things to do, too.
Oh, yeah. Let's fit something in. Yeah, we haven't done anything weird in a while.
Yeah. You know, I got a birthday coming up in May.
Get weird with it. We'll do a birthday episode.
Got a birthday, and it's going to be Mother's Day, you know.
Your birthday's on Mother's Day.
Yeah. We'll find something to do. In the meantime, in the in-between time, make sure you stay single, my friends, because it's your friends here on Baby Oil and Blow.